Hello, I'm Jeff Watts. Welcome to Advances in Eye Care. In this edition, we start with a review of what we know about acanthamoeba and the reported increase in prevalence of acanthamoeba keratitis in the south of the country. Then we explore the potential use of low-dose atropine for slowing myopic progression in children. And we end with a review of the Royal College of Ophthalmologists' 2018 updated guidelines for chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine screening.
Acanthamoeba is found in around a third of domestic sinks, so I can't stress enough the risk of mixing water with contact lenses.
Acanthamoeba keratitis is a rare eye infection caused by a waterborne microorganism, Acanthamoeba, which infects the cornea. The disease is rare, but has a strong association with soft contact lens wear. Since 2011, there has been a threefold increase of the infection in southeast England. Here, David Cartwright speaks to Dr. Nicole Kant at the University of New South Wales in Sydney to find out the reasons for the increased incidence in the UK and what this means for optometrists now and in the future.
Nicole, welcome to this edition of Advances in Eye Care. I wonder if you could briefly remind us to begin with of what the acanthamoeba organism is and where would we find it?
Certainly, David. So acanthamoeba is a free-living protozoa and it's found mainly in water and soil. It's interesting because it has two forms of life, the feeding motile trophozoite, it's called, and the dormant resistant cyst. Now, the problem is these cysts can survive in extreme environmental stress, such as temperature, pH, disinfection, and antibiotic treatments even. Now, in southeast England, acanthamoeba is found in around a third of domestic sinks, and we think this is because it feeds on the bacterial biofilm that builds up on the lime scale in the pipes due to the hard water.
So it is something that is always around us. Is that one of the first messages?
That is correct.
Now, I know that acanthamoeba can have very serious problems from an eye point of view. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, so acanthamoeba is one of the severest forms of eye infection. Around a quarter of the patients end up with losing 25% of sight and can have infection, active infection I'm talking about, for more than 12 months. So it is a very severe infection and something that we need to be vigilant about.
And are there any specific types of patient who are more at risk of acanthamoeba keratitis?
So some of my research has looked at whether people have a genetic susceptibility to getting eye infections due to contact lenses. And certainly we find that there are some parts of people's immune system that does make them more susceptible. But by and large, 90% of acanthamoeba is due to avoidable risk factors, such as not mixing water with contact lenses.
So was acanthamoeba keratitis unheard of before the advent of soft contact lenses?
Well, in fact, the first cases in the 1970s were mainly in farmers who were male in the US. But as soft contact lenses became more popular in the 1980s, there was a dramatic rise in the number of cases. And today, in developed countries, 85% of acanthamoeba occurs in contact lens wearers.
Can you tell us about the incidence of acanthamoeba, perhaps the general population versus a normal contact lens population?
Mm-hmm. So in the general population, acanthamoeba keratitis can occur, but it is very rare. And even with contact lenses, the rate is around 2 per 100,000 contact lens wearers per year. Now, compared to bacterial keratitis, which accounts for around 90% of contact lens-associated infections, acanthamoeba is around 20 times less common. However, of course, it is much more severe, and we believe that around 90% of the cases are preventable.
Now, does that alter according to the mode of contact lenses, whether they're monthly or daily disposables?
Well, we do believe that daily disposables show a lower risk of acanthamoeba keratitis, but we do still see cases with daily disposables.
So the message there would be we should be suspicious, really, whatever type of mode of contact lenses somebody is wearing.
That's correct.
And typically, if a practitioner was suspecting acanthamoeba keratitis, what sort of things would a patient be complaining of?
Well, the symptoms actually, David, vary quite a bit. So sometimes people can come in with very mild grumbling symptoms, and other times they can have very severe symptoms that seem to be out of proportion with the signs that occur on the eye. Typically, acanthamoeba starts with an epitheliopathy, and this can be in a dendritic form. It can therefore be confused with herpes simplex keratitis, and this occurs in about 50% of cases. So we do need to be quite vigilant if we have a contact lens wearer with these signs. Now, infiltrates along the corneal nerves, known as perineural infiltrates, are also common. And then as the infection progresses, the stroma becomes involved. So you get that ground glass appearance of the central cornea. We do find that in around 20% of cases, they develop that classic stromal ring infiltrate and or a painful scleritis. Now, historically, people have associated that stromal ring infiltrate with acanthamoeba, but it's important to realise that that's a late stage and it doesn't occur in all cases.
You've very clearly described what a practitioner should be looking for from a corneal point of view. Is this only a problem for the cornea?
Well, fortunately, it is. So one thing about acanthamoeba is that it tends to remain in the anterior eye. So we have seen some cases of retinal necrosis, but we believe that these are inflammatory only and are not due to the spread of infection. So even scleritis, we believe, is driven by the inflammatory cascade and not related to extracorneal spread of the organism.
The message would be that a practitioner shouldn't wait to see a disease progress. If they're suspicious of acanthamoeba keratitis, they should be referring as an emergency.
Absolutely. So they should be referring on the same day. The next course of action for suspected acanthamoeba is to send them to a hospital service. There they can do a test with what's called an in vivo confocal microscope. And this microscope is able to look at the cornea in great magnification, and sometimes we can see the cysts. And that gives us a lot of direction about the diagnosis. Of course, at the hospital, they will also do a corneal scrape. And we find in around 50% of cases, the corneal scrape will grow an organism. So we put all that information together, what the clinical picture is, what the laboratory signs are, and what these specialist microscopes tell us.
So this is a condition which will be treated in hospital. Just so that people are aware of what the treatment regime is, what would a hospital be doing?
So with the treatment for acanthamoeba, because it is resistant to antibiotics, it's treated with some anti-amoebic treatments such as PHMB and chlorhexidine. And it's also there's another type of anti-amoebic that is used in conjunction with that. So they have two types of drops, and for the first couple of days they need to use those drops every hour, day and night. And those drops can be quite toxic to the surface of the eye, so they can cause some inflammation and some pain.
You mentioned in the initial part of this conversation that there had been an increase in acanthamoeba keratitis cases in the southeast. And can you elaborate on the reasons, perhaps, for that?
Yes, so we've found since 2011 an increase, around a 3 times increase in the number of cases in southeast England. And our research showed that the primary driver of this was a contact lens solution containing the ingredient Oxipol. Now, this has been withdrawn from sale, but we are seeing that other countries around the world where this solution was not available, still an elevated risk of acanthamoeba keratitis. So we need to maintain our vigilance and make sure that people are aware that this organism is found in water and they take those precautions.
And particularly in the southeast, that has more of a risk because of the hard water, I believe.
That's correct. So with the hard water, you get the lime scale building up on the pipes, and this forms a bed for bacterial biofilm to attach to. And Acanthamoeba is known as a grazer. So as it moves down the pipes, it eats the bacterial biofilm and starts to reproduce and proliferate.
Clearly, this is a serious eye condition which we want to avoid in the first place. So what would be your advice for patients in order to make sure that they give themselves the best possible opportunity not to get acanthamoeba keratitis in the first place?
So I can't stress enough, David, the risk of mixing water with contact lenses. So I know that we drink and bathe in water, but the cornea is very vulnerable to this organism, unlike other tissues in our body. So we would say to never soak or rinse contact lenses or storage cases in water, to avoid showering and swimming in lenses, and if contact lens wearers do swim in their lenses, to use tight-fitting goggles and disinfect the lenses or replace them afterwards.
One sees patients whose hygiene perhaps isn't as good as it might be, perhaps storage cases, things like that. Any advice there?
So with the storage cases, it's very important that even cases that are a couple of days old can start to build up organisms which can be a food source for acanthamoeba. So it is very important that when with the contact lens cases that they're cleaned and air dried each time the lenses are removed. The other thing about the lens cases is to make sure that people do replace the disinfecting solution fully so that they're not topping up, because we know now that lenses absorb the preservatives from the solution and that weakens the disinfection capability of the solution.
And I think patients may find this a little bit strange, that they know that they can have a shower quite normally and not really have any worries, but we tell them not to shower in contact lenses. So why is it that contact lenses are more of a risk factor for acanthamoeba keratitis when in contact with water, showering or swimming, those sorts of things?
So if you're taking a shower without contact lenses and water gets into your eye, you have the normal defense mechanism of blinking, your tears are flushing the water out of your eye, and it's not in your eye for any length of period. Whereas if you're wearing a contact lens, the acanthamoeba can get trapped underneath the lens, it can attach to the surface of the contact lens, and you're much more likely then for it to cause an infection.
Sort of in summary, is there any other advice you would give practitioners or patients?
Well, I think this is a huge opportunity for practitioners to communicate with their consumers about healthy contact lens wear. And the British Contact Lens Association was the first organisation to endorse the No Water sticker for contact lens packaging back in 2013. And since then, it's been adopted in the US and Australia and is now on the International Standards Organization agenda. So I think this is a really good way to initiate that conversation about the water as a risk factor and to give that visual prompt to contact lens wearers about that risk.
Thank you, Nicole and David, for that informative update on acanthamoeba.